Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. So you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word, read the passage, and then we'll cut to the children's talk. So if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then Anthony Blake, a member of our church, will bring the sermon. So let's pray. Our gracious God, please work in us now, by your Holy Spirit, to hear your word, to believe, and to grow. May your word encourage us and bring us joy, hope, and peace. Speak through Anthony. And open our hearts that we would fix our eyes on Jesus and rejoice in all that He's done for us and all that He will do for us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let's read Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. And now, it's over to the children's talk. Hi everyone, I'm here with my three kids, Kai, Ellie and Hannah. Say hi guys.
Hi.
Now, when I want to access my house, let's imagine that I am outside and the door is locked. What do I need so that I can access my house, so I can get into it? Ellie?
Keys.
Keys. That's right. Just any keys?
No.
What key do I need?
The key that unlocks that door.
That's right. There is a particular key, this one, that unlocks my front door. I need this key to access my house. When I want to access my money, which is in my bank account, what do I need? Kai?
Your bank card.
My bank card, exactly. I need to grab this out. And then I have access to my money. I can buy things, and that's very helpful. I need this card to access my money. When I want to access my phone, if I want to call someone, or if I want to look at my email, or if I want to play a game, what do I need to do so that I can access my phone? Ellie?
You need to turn the phone on, and if you want to call, do the phone number.
Yeah, that's right. I need to turn my phone on. I also need to do a special pattern, don't I? When it asks me to unlock the phone, I need to do a special pattern. So to access my phone, I need to turn it on and do a special pattern. So I need a key to access my house. I need a bank card to access my money, and I need to do my special
pattern code to access my phone. In our Bible passage today, Paul says that we access something, that we have access to something. He says this, through him, that is through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. By Jesus, we have access by faith into this grace. When we trust in Jesus, we have access to the grace that he's just been talking about. In the previous verse, he said that we have peace with God. For us to access peace with God, the key, or the bank card, or the pattern for the phone, the way that we access peace with God is through faith in Jesus Christ. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Why would that be the case? Why do we need to have faith in Jesus to have peace with God?
To trust in him.
Why do we need to do that? How does it all work?
So that we can get into heaven.
Yeah, this is what it does, but how does it work? How do we have peace with God? Why do we have peace with God?
Because he died upon the cross.
He died upon the cross. What? How does that work, Kai?
He saved us from our sins.
How?
That was the ultimate sacrifice.
That's right. Jesus was the sacrifice for our sin. He took away all the anger that God had for us for our sin. And so now, we were enemies. We were sinners who were rebelling against God. But now, even though we still do sin, now we have peace with God because all of our sin has been paid for by Jesus. And so now, when we trust in Jesus, Jesus is like the key. And we have access to peace with God. And that is good news. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you sent Jesus so that we could access you, so that we could have access to peace with you, which is a great gift from you. We thank you that when we weren't at peace with you, when we were sinners deserving your judgment, you sent Jesus to die for us, to take our punishment. And so now, even though we do still sin, we are at peace with you because it's all been paid for. Thank you for this and help us to have faith in Jesus, to trust in him, so that we can have access to this great relationship now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 How good is Romans? Jesse has been doing a great job going through this letter from Paul almost line by line. It's been great. I only felt depressed for the first 8 weeks or so. It seems to me that Jesse has taken way too much pleasure in telling us we are not good enough. We're sinners, we fall short, and we will never be good enough. Jews and Gentiles, Greeks and Romans, we all fail. And didn't Jesse like breaking that down, line by painful line? Now, it's not all Jesse's fault, of course. It's Paul's. He started this letter by reminding us that we are not perfect, and therefore aren't good enough for God. 3.5 chapters of it, wearing us down, grinding us down to the point of hopelessness. And then, bang, justification, saved by faith, Jesus is the answer. It's like watching Stephen Bradbury at the Winter Olympics. No chance he can win, he shouldn't even be in the final. Straight away he's losing and it is hopeless. But then, at the last second, he sails on through for the win and is presented with gold. And that is what happens to us. Through faith in Christ, we can sail on through, take a win that is not ours, and we are presented with gold. Chapter 5 is all about the hope that comes from that justification. Hope in God, in Christ, and in what is to come. So our first section is on active hope, and we'll cover verses 1 to 5. Paul, like he loves to do, starts the new section of his letter with therefore, which means that this section is an extension of what we have just read. Now verses 1 and 2 give us a snapshot of everything we can hope for, past, present, and future hope. Our past is covered with forgiveness. At present, we stand in grace, and our future inheritance is that of God's glory. So we know that our past is pretty sketchy. We were all God's enemies, and Paul has spent the first chunk of his letter telling us all about it. But that is the past. And because we have been justified through faith, we now have peace with God through Jesus. Currently, it's again because of that faith in Christ that we now stand in his grace. This is not just God's love for us, it is also a place of acceptance of us by him. This is a place where we stand, always secure, accepted, and loved. And then for the future, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. God's glory fully on display, all the radiant splendor that God will bring. And our hope, unlike wishful thinking, unlike when hoping for a warm weather in winter, is a Christian hope and rests on the promises and love of God. And of course, in verses 3 and 4, the natural response to that is to glory in our tribulations and sufferings. Really? Has Paul gone mad? Glory in suffering? Yes. You see, he explains tribulations produces perseverance, which makes sense. You can't persevere without a trial or a fight of some kind. Then by enduring, our character grows. Just like in all those great video games, every time you defeat a boss or level, your character grows. You might get a new weapon or a skill to use, which constantly makes you stronger. But our character growth then produces hope. Hope that is based in faith, because we have already been justified. So we can see that suffering is not God crushing us, but God showing us the benefits of being justified. Without being justified through faith, the suffering would be unbearable. But is this anything new? Jesus told us to expect persecution and that it would lead to glory. Listen to what he said in Matthew 5:10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But on top of all this, Paul gives us another reason. Take a look at verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now this verse marks the first mention of the Holy Spirit in Romans, and Paul uses that to show the guarantee that God won't let us down. It is proof of his love for us, an eternal love. Now there is more proof of that coming up, but no spoilers. So now with proof of God's love for us, even in our suffering, we can go and rejoice. Rejoice in the peace, in the grace we stand in, and in the hope of the glory of God. Rejoice in our suffering and all that comes with it. Rejoice in our active hope, a hope that is active now and with us into the future. We can rejoice in the love of God that will not let us down. And this is shown again in our next section, grounded hope. Verses 6 to 8 show us again that God loves us by showing the ultimate gift of his love. A little while back, I saw a sign out the front of an op shop. It said, "Giving is just love with its work boots on." Sure, they just wanted more donations by tugging at a few heartstrings, but they are not wrong either. You see, we show our love by giving. I was at a birthday party not too long ago, and the little girl in question was turning 10. I sat there and watched as she unwrapped a whole bunch of gifts. It felt like there were millions of them. Then her parents pushed the last gift forward, and it was a brand new mobile phone, an iPhone 476 or whatever they're up to. Obviously, she was over the moon and instantly forgot about all other gifts. To her, this was the greatest possible gift. Verse 6 says this is what God has done for us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Did you notice who he died for? His enemies, ungodly people who rejected him. Us. Did you notice when? When we were helpless to do anything about it. Powerless. Weak. When our need was the greatest it would ever be. And when nothing else would do. So God gave the greatest possible gift right when we needed it most. Now verse 7 can be a little tricky. The language is a little strange and odd to hear. It is pointing out how outrageous Christ's death is. Very few people are prepared to die for a righteous man or a good man. Occasionally it happens. We've all heard stories of extreme situations where a parent or partner have risked their lives for the sake of loved ones. At Port Arthur in 96, there was a husband who threw a tray at the shooter to get his attention away from his wife and kid. And in 89, during the Hillsborough disaster, where 15,000 soccer fans were forced into an area only meant for three, a father pushed his son up over the fence as he was crushed against it. Occasionally, it happens. Paul moves on and uses just two words at the start of verse 8 to tell us that God is different. But God. But God shows, demonstrates, proves his love for us. How? By sending his son, his one and only, to die horribly on the cross for his undeserving enemies, for a bunch of wretched sinners. How can we ever doubt his love? This is what our hope is grounded in, his unfailing, eternal love. A hope grounded in a love like this cannot be broken. And if our hope is grounded in this love, isn't that cause for rejoicing? Why shouldn't we rejoice in a hope that comes from this love, especially when this love is the best possible proof for that hope? So we have active hope and a grounded hope. And verses 9 to 11 talk about a future hope. This section changes emphasis from past and present to present and future, from done to yet to come. Verses 9 and 10 tell us that because of what has been done, we will be saved. So on that last day, when Christ comes to judge the living and the dead, we will be saved. Paul shows us we should be super confident in our future hope. He starts with two examples of how God has done the hard work already, and so of course he'll do the easy stuff. Verse 9. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. After listening to a kid do his 8 times table, you wouldn't ask them to do their 2 times table, would you? God has done the hard thing by bringing justification to the ungodly. So obviously, he'll protect us from his wrath. Again, verse 10 has the same structure. God has done the hard stuff, so he'll obviously do the easy stuff. But in verse 10, we're talking about reconciliation. If justified is a judge finding us righteous, reconciled is a father welcoming us home. It's a relational term, where justified is a legal term. They both happened at the cross, through the blood and death of Jesus, and they both point toward a future hope, a hope we can be sure of, because they were the hard part. So we went from sinners to justified, and will be saved. We went from enemies to family and will be saved. Saved from his wrath that is yet to come, because that is the easy part. And not only that, not only are we saved, but we also get to rejoice in God. See verse 11. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. This is an interesting little bit of text, because with the help of Google Translate and a few different Bible translations, verse 11 could say boasting, bragging, rejoicing, or exulting in God. And Paul has used that before. He used it to criticize the Jews in Romans 2:17. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God. But we are different to the Jews. We are to boast in God, to rejoice in his mercies, not our privileges like the Jews. We're to boast in his possession of us, not our exclusive possession of him. See, we're to boast or rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the hard work that he's done for us, the hard work like justification and reconciliation. Because again, through him, we are not just legally clean and justified, we are reconciled and welcomed home. Now we can see our hope, our active hope, grounded in the love of God, an unwavering love which is a hope and promise for the future. And we know that his love won't let us down. It's not always easy to have hope, especially in times of trouble and dark times, but that's why God proved his love for us. So we should continue to hope. Hope and rejoice in it. Why shouldn't we rejoice in God's love? He's done all the hard stuff by justifying and reconciling us. All so we can have that glorious hope for the future, that we will not just be spared his wrath, but welcomed home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us hope. A hope that is grounded in your love. We thank you for that love and how deep it is. Thank you that you will not put us to shame, for you have poured your love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Thank you again for sending your Son to die for us while we were still sinners, and for saving us from your wrath through faith. In Jesus' name, Amen.
That was Anthony Blake, a member of Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, bringing God's word to us. I'm Jesse Walls, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's word. We'd love to have you join us physically next Sunday at 10 a.m. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, if you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.